waiting for my book. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, giving my first extended care Parsha Shir. I was hoping to be able to do it, you know, in the building and get the full experience. But in Yirtzeh Hashem, soon we'll be back together. We'll be back learning in person. For now, this is better than nothing. Okay, so there's a debate that goes back not so many years, really to the start of the State of Israel. And it's about saying Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. The debate is, do we say it? Do we not say it? Should we make a bracha on our Hallel? Should we not make a bracha on our Hallel? Should we say Tachanun that day? Should we not say Tachanun that day? It's a ginormous debate with so many layers to it. And the two sides of the debate are very, very fierce about what they hold. But one statement always gets made every single year on Yom Ha'atzmaut without fail, and that is that Rav Kook himself never said Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Well, obviously Rav Kook himself never said Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. He was Nifter in 1935, and the State of Israel wasn't founded until 1948. So how could he have said Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut? Right? People say it tongue-in-cheek, but they don't mean it. Because obviously it didn't happen. There was no debate at that point. And so when we read Parshas Toldos, a similar question has to really jump out at us. The Pasuk says, and I have it here as the first source, very base. So just to give some context, Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Yitzchak, and he's telling him, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Don't do it. There is a famine in Eretz Canaan, but don't go down to Mitzrayim. Don't do what Avraham did. Stay in Eretz Canaan. I promise you it's going to be okay. And he says to him, very basic, as the first source in Bereishis Chavav Pasuk Dalet, very basic, as Zaracha, Kechokve, Hashemayim, I'm going to make your offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky, and Asati the Zaracha, as Haaretz, Sos, Ha'el, I'm going to give them these lands, V'hisberachu, V'zaracha, Kol Goyei Haaretz, and I'm going to bless your offspring with all of the nations of the land, meaning you are going to overtake it. It's going to be yours. And he says, "Pasuk, hey, Ekev Asher Shama Abraham Mikoli, because Abraham listened to my voice, V'yishmor Mishmarti, and he guarded my guardings, Mitzvosai V'chukosai V'torosai, my mitzvos, my chukos, which typically we say is a mitzvah without a logical reason, and my toros." So this same question should jump out at us. What is he talking about? How do we understand this pasuk? How did Abraham have mishmarti and mitzvos and chukos and toros? Didn't these things come after? The same way Rav Kook never could have said Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So how too could Abraham have kept any of this stuff? In the words of Rabbi Moshe Benovitz, we should stand up, stop the Baal Korah, and say, "You're not moving on until we answer this." So, if we understand that that Abraham did keep all of this, and therefore the Avos did so as well, so then we're going to have a couple of questions. Question number one. Yaakov has his famous dream, where he goes, where he's going, he's running away from Esav, and he's going to stay with his uncle Laban, and he falls asleep, and he has his famous dream, where he sees Malachim, angels, going up and down the ladder. And then he wakes up, and and the Pasuk says, in Bereishis, Chavches, Yudches, V'yashkim Yaakov b'boker, V'yikach es ha'evin, Asher sam mirosh asav, V'yasem osam b'tseva, V'yizog shemen arosha. So Yaakov woke up, he took the stone that his head was sleeping on. You know, typically we only sleep on rocks once a year on Tisha B'Av. But apparently Yaakov Avinu, he was going to sleep on a rock on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. So he had a rock as a pillow, and he took that rock, and he poured shemen on it. He poured oil on it, and he made it a matseva, which is a type of altar for Hashem. But the Torah tells us in Devarim, in Perek Tez Zayin Pasuk Chaf Beis, that v'lo sakim lecha matseva, you shouldn't make a matseva. Asher sanei Hashem lekecha, Hashem hates matzevos. He hates them. It's not just that he doesn't want them. It's not that he doesn't think they're pretty. He hates them. So how could Yaakov Avinu have made a matzeva? And just as an aside, I guess. So when we make an altar, or B'mehir B'yameinu, when we have the base of Mikdash back, and we have an altar there, we're gonna have Mizbeach. So Mizbeach is multiple stones put together. You take multiple stones together and you make one big altar. But a matseva is one big stone. So Yaakov used a matseva. The pasuk says Hashem hates matsevos. So how could Yaakov use a matseva? Not only did Yaakov use a matseva, but Moshe Rabbeinu also made matsevos. We're told that right before Moshe went to go get the second set of luchos, he made 12 matzevos, one for each and every shevet. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu do it? How could Yaakov Avinu do it? How could Moshe Rabbeinu do it? If they're keeping mitzvos sai, chukos sai, v'toros sai, they're keeping my mitzvos, my chukos, and my toros, so how could they do it? Doesn't make any sense. The second question, and this is probably the one that people like to talk about the most, is how did Yaakov Avinu marry sisters? We know that he married Rachel and Leah, their sisters. So there are some statements in Chazal that he actually married four sisters. But let's say at least he married two sisters. So the pasuk's also very explicit about that. The Torah is also very explicit about that. The Torah in Vayikra says, in Parshas Kedoshim, says not to marry sisters, not to make them saros, it says. And so when we're talking about multiple wives, we typically call them a tsar. So a tsar is an enemy, because there's this animosity that exists between wives. Well, I mean, Baruch Hashem, for so many reasons, we all only have one wife, but when those who have multiple wives, there's this animosity that exists between them, because we saw it with Rachel and Leah. Everyone wants to be the favorite. It's like anything. Whenever there's multiple people who are in the same role, so everyone wants to be the favorite, and it's very hard to kind of put that competitiveness aside. And so while the Torah allows it, you're allowed to have multiple wives, and you're allowed to, I guess, encourage to some extent that competitiveness, the Torah says not to do it to sisters, not to infringe on that sisterly love. So how could Yaakov Avinu do it? How could he have married sisters? If he was keeping the whole Torah, how could he do it? And lastly, Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Aaron HaKohen, of Miriam, married his aunt. He married his aunt Yocheved. And again, the pasuk in Vayikra says that you're not allowed to marry your doda, your aunt. So how is any of this allowed? Right? If we take this pasuk literally, of that Avraham listens, Bekoli, Mishmarti, Mitzvasai, Chukosai, Vesorosai, how is any of this allowed? And I think the thing that personally bothers me most about this is growing up, this is what we're taught without question. I had a Rebbe in YU, when I was in YU, and he loved to say, that's what you believe because that's what your Ganenet taught you. That's what your kindergarten teacher taught you. And 100%, this is what we believe because this is what we learned from the youngest of ages. That the Avos kept the whole Torah. No question about it. But how is it possible? How is it possible that they kept the whole Torah, and yet they made matzevos, they married sisters, married their aunts? How could they have done these things? So I want to try to see three approaches to how we can answer this question. And the approach we're going to start with, probably the simplest approach on many levels, is with Rashi from this week's Parsha, from Parsha's Toldos. So I have it here on the source sheet in source number two, that Rashi breaks down the pasuk word by word. He says, Shema Avraham Bekoli. He says, Kisha Nisisio. So when I tested him, because we know that Rashi had 10, we know that Avraham had 10 nesionos. He had 10 tests. And so he listened to my voice every time I tested him. He listened and he did it. Vishmar Mishmarti, which Rashi says are the gzeros, the rechacha, all azaros, Shiva Torah, to stay away from everything we're warned about on the Torah, kagon, shenios, arayos, shvus, l'shabbos, not to engage in arayos, in illicit acts, and also shvus, l'shabbos, any isadir rabbanon of Shabbos, which is, there's definitely no shortage of by Hilchos Shabbos. Mitzvah Sai says Devarim Shilo Niktavu Roin Him Litzavos. So what's a mitzvah? Rashi defines a mitzvah as something that had the Torah not written it, I would have done it anyway. Kagon Gezel. An ethical society doesn't steal. For whatever reason. And we can get into you can get into the reasoning of why an ethical society doesn't do that, but they don't steal. Ushvikas Tamim, and they don't kill. So even if the Torah never said it, I still wouldn't do it, because it's unethical. Chukosai, or Devarim, Shiyetzer Hara, Ve'umos Ha'olam, Mashivan Aleim. It's something that your Yetzer Hara and the other nations, the non-Jewish nations, are going to ask about. Kigon Achilas Chazer, not eating pig, Levisha Shatnes, or not wearing wool and linen together. She'ein Tam B'davar. There's no reason. I can't say this is the ethical reason, this is the deep, I mean, maybe I can give you a spiritual reason, but I can't give you any practical reason. Elagazeros hamelech v'chuchas of all avadav. But they're just, this is what the king, this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to do, and that's why we do it. And lastly, v'torah sai, lahavi torah shaval peh halach l'mosh v'sinai. So torah sai is in the plural. Why? Because you have a Torah Shebiktav, you have the written Torah, you have the Torah Shebaal Peh, you have the oral Torah, which includes Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, things that we know because they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, for no other reason. And so, it's clear that Rashi's approaching this from a very simple standpoint. The Avos kept the whole Torah. And he's well-backed. There's a Gemara in Yuma over here that I quoted underneath on Chav Ches on the base, in the name of Rav, where Rav says that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. Similarly, there's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba where when Yosef has finally revealed himself to his brothers, and then he sends his brothers back to Yaakov to say, you know, Yosef's alive, you have to come to Mitzrayim, you have to come see him. So he sends a galos. He sends wagons. And the reason, the Medrash says, is to show that when Yosef was sold, they were in the middle of learning the Parsha of Egla Rufa. They were learning Torah. They were learning Torah that hadn't yet been revealed. So there's assumptions in Chazal that this is true. And, you know, this is Rashi all over the Parsha. It happens to be that earlier in the Parsha, when Yaakov is saying to Esav, sell me your Bechora. So Rashi says, why would Yaakov want his Bechora? Esav came out first. He's the Bechor. He gets the Bechora. And so Rashi says, the reason is because Yaakov knew that the Avoda was going to go to the Bechor. And Esav was a Rasha. He didn't deserve to do the Avoda. He didn't deserve to serve in the Mishkan or the base of Migdash or any of that. So he's like, it should be me. I keep Torah. I do mitzvos. And similarly, when Esav says, why do I need this? He says, Hine anochi holech lamus. I'm going to die. Rashi says, what do you mean you're going to die? And the interpretation is that Aesop's saying, there's so many rules around doing the avoda that I'm going to be mechayev myself misa. So why should I hold on to the bechorah if it's just going to kill me? I'm just going to be killed because of it. So Rashi's just going with this simple interpretation that the avos kept the whole Torah. And we know that Rashi knew all the questions. He knew that you can't build a matzeva. He knew you can't marry sisters. He knew that you can't marry your aunt. But he kept this explanation anyway. So there has to be a reason why he wanted to explain this way. And so one of the explanations that I saw for Rashi was Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss said that we can say for Rashi that all of the avos were on a level of nevuah. We know that the avos spoke with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were on a level of nevuah. And when you're a Navi, you're allowed to go against the rules sometimes. It's called a Horesh Shah. So temporarily, you can break the rules. And that's okay. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're speaking with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wants this from you. And one of the most famous cases of this is Eliyahu HaNavi at Har HaKarmel. And what happens is Eliyahu is trying to show all those who worship Avodah Zarah, all those who worship Baal, that Hashem really is the true king. Hashem really is the only God. And so he challenges them, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu with Korach Ve'edaso, he challenges them to a carbon off, I guess you could say. He says, I'm going to bring a carbon to my God. And he tells them, you bring a carbon to your God. And whoever's carbon is accepted, then we'll know that that's the true God. So Eliyahu brings his carbon, and a fire comes down from Shemayim, and it consumes the carbon. And all those who worship Baal say, okay, you're right. Your God is the true God. And actually, interestingly enough, they actually all fall on their faces, and they start saying, Hashem Hu Elokim, which is where we get the minhag that at the end of Yom Kippur, we shout out, Hashem Hu Elokim, because he was proving to them that Hashem really was the true God. But we see from here that Eliyahu, after Matan Torah, he went against the halacha. He went against what the Torah said. The Torah tells us that once there's a Mishkan, once there's a base of Migdash, you're not allowed to offer karbanos anywhere else. Yet Eliyahu went somewhere else, he offered a karban, and it was clearly accepted. Because it's a Horesh Shah. Because for that moment, he was allowed to do it. And so Rav Asher Weiss says that was after Matan Torah, Kal v'chomer all the more so before Matan Torah. So before the Torah was explicitly given, the avos were allowed to, they were allowed to change. They were allowed to do a little differently. Yaakov could marry sisters. Moshe could build the matzevos. Amram could marry his aunt. They did nothing wrong. The Ramban, however, goes ballistic. Cannot understand Rashi. What are you saying? What planet did you come from? Okay, he didn't say what planet did you come from. But he can't understand what is he saying. Where is he coming from? He knows all the questions because he asked all the questions. You know, it happens to be, I brought it here in source number 3. These are all the Ramban's questions. All of them. How the matzevos, the sisters, the aunt, how is any of it allowed? What? Where did it come from? What are you talking about? And so he answers. So the Ramban's going to give two answers, and these will be approach number 2 and 3. One of his answers, I would say, is more famous than the other, and ironically, it's not the answer he winds up on. So the first answer is on the second sheet, is on the second page of the sheet. And the Ramban says, Ulai Neamar Mishmarti. Maybe you'll say, Mishmarti is Shinios, Le'arayos, Shobanei Noach. It's the Arayos the B'nai Noach is not allowed to engage in. Because there are some arayos that a B'nai Noach is not usher in, that a Jew is usher in. Umitzvosai. And what are my mitzvos? Gezel, shvichas damim. Okay, like we saw before, it's stealing, it's murdering. V'chukosai. What's that? Eiver min achai. Yikulayim shel harbas v'hema v'archavas ilan. So, chukosai, the things you can't understand, it's eiver min achai, and it's mixed breeding animals, mixed breeding plants. V'torosai, dinen, having a court. V'yisora v'odazara, and not serving other gods. He says, she'ilu kulan esabu behen b'nei noach. V'u'a shomer v'u'se ratzan boro. So these are all things that B'nai Noach are commanded in. And so they're doing the ratzon of their creator, the Avos were doing the ratzon of their creator, and they were guarding it, filo digdukin v'chumros. Even the most small parts, even the most minor details, b'mitzvah shalahanu kumo, she's kiru, like we say, avodah zara shal Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is Maseches Avodah Zara, and his shas, Arba Mea Praki Havas. It was 400 Prakim. It was 400 Prakim. Because he didn't have so many mitzvos. But the ones that he did have, he was very, very mikdatic, methodical in. And so if you count this, so you have the Isser of Arayos, that's one. You have Gezel, Shvichas Damim, three. Eiver Menachai and Kalayim, which is, I think, four. Dinan is five. Let me see. Shneos Arayos is one. Gezel is three. Eiver Menachai is four. Kalayim of the Behema is five. Dinan have a court is six. And Isuri Avodah Zara is seven. So we come out with, it comes out that if you count what he's saying here, we have seven things. Because it's the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. What the Ramban is saying is this pasuk, if you can break down this pasuk and show that all these things, that when we say that he kept all these things, he was just keeping different parts of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. He wasn't keeping the whole Torah. It wasn't every single thing. It was just the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. And with that, we could answer our original question. So how did they build matzevos? It's not usher, right? As long as you're sacrificing to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not to another god, it's not usher. How did Yaakov Avinu marry sisters? It's not one of the arayos that's usher for them. How did Amram marry Yocheved? It's not one of the arayos that's usher for them. It's just I think infidelity and Mishkav Zachar are usher for a Ben Noach, but not all of these things. So in that sense, the Ramban answers all these questions. It's all these seven, these Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, and nothing else. So one question, one thing that stuck out to me originally, is that the Ramban adds Kilayim, this mixed breeding of animals and plants, as one of the seven. But typically when we count seven, that's not one of the ones we count. We count what we call Birchas Hashem, cursing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so I brought in the next source in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Nun Vav Amis, where he talks about that Rabbi Elazar thinks that there's certain parts of Kilayim that a Ben Noach isn't allowed to do. So he thinks that they're allowed to wear shatnes. That's not a problem. But he says that they're also to crossbreed things. It's also for them to crossbreed animals. It's also for them to crossbreed plants. And Rabbi Yochanan says, well, no, I'll show you. I have a pasuk, and I'm going to show you that that's actually not one of the seven. And so he brings Birchas Hashem of cursing a Kadosh Baruch Hu as one of the seven, and that's how we wind up with our seven. As opposed to the seven that the Ramban brought. But interestingly enough, the Ramban he thinks that, you know, this mixed breeding of plants and animals is one of the seven. And the Rambam brings the same thing. He also says that the mixed breeding of plants and animals is one of the seven. So, just, you know, a little aside. But, no matter, at the end of the day, he's still counting seven. He's saying, you take these four words, I'll give you seven mitzvos. That's what they were doing. They weren't doing everything. That's what they were doing. And then he gives a second answer, which is what he's more famous for, I would say. And he says here in the source where it says the Rambans continue, Vanir Eli Midas Rebusinu. So he says, I've learned from my rabbis the following. Shalamad Avram Vinu HaTorah Kula Beruach HaKodesh. Avram learned the whole Torah, how? Through Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit, the Asakba, and he was involved in it, the Watami Mitzvaseya, the Sotoseya, and all the reasons, of why we do it, and where it comes from. V'shimer Osa Kula Kamisha Eina Mitzuva V'Osa. And he did the whole thing, he guarded the whole Torah, like one who was not commanded, but they did it anyway. They did it because they wanted to. Shmiraso Osa Haya Be'aretz Belvad. But he says he only kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And so if you say that he did it because he intuited it and because he wanted to do it and he only kept it in Eretz Yisrael, so now we can answer all our questions. He says Yaakov Bechutz La'aretz Nasa Achios. Yaakov did nothing wrong. Where did he marry the sisters? In Chutz Aretz. So therefore, he didn't do it in Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, Rachel is nifter before they even make it to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, that's not a problem. V'chein Amram, and so too Amram. Amram was in Mitzrayim. He was also outside of Eretz Yisrael. So not a problem. Ki mitzvos mishpat elokei ha'aretz hein. So he says, why did he keep them in Eretz Yisrael? Because the mitzvos are the judgment of Elokei Haaretz. They are the laws of Elokei Haaretz, of the God of the land. So therefore, he didn't have to do it anywhere else. Aval P says, but you're probably asking, but so then why are we doing mitzvos? You know, why are we learning Torah on a Friday morning? Maybe we should only do an Eretz Yisrael. So he's going to answer that question. He says, "Af al pi shuz harnu bechovas haguf bekol makom." Even though we say anywhere there's a Jew, there is a requirement to do mitzvos, and that's a Gemara in Kiddushin. Cover Ramzi Rebosino Soda Zeh. He said, "My rabbis, our rabbis, have already taught this in the Sifri." He says to look there in the Sifri. Va'ani a'ircha bo be'ezras Hashem, and I'm gonna say it right here. I'm going to establish it right here. And he says the matzeva mitzvah shenischadsha bezman yiduahi, and also the matzeva. So how could they do the matzeva? It's not only that they did something that was against the Torah. They did something that Hashem hates. So maybe they should have intuited it that Hashem hates it. You can tell when someone doesn't want you to do something or when they hate it. So he says, no. The Mitzvah, that came at a later time. Kamosha Darshu in the Sifri, Bashir Saneh Hashem Lokecha, Shisana Acher Hiyosa Ahuva Vimea Avos. That he hated it after he loved it in the days of the Avos. He doesn't say it here, but the reason Akash Baruch Hu hates it is because it became the symbol of Avodah Zarah. Of the Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers, they would use the Matzeva. And so at a certain point, when that became so widespread, Akash Baruch Hu said no more. Which we could get off on a tangent of on another topic of, so how can something become Aser? How can Hashem hate something? It happens to be the Rambam speaks a lot about it when he's talking about getting like a, it's kind of like a mohawk haircut. So he says that's the way that when he's talking about cutting the payos of the Rosh. He talks about how there's a mohawk haircut that was the haircut of idol worshippers, and that's why Hashem didn't want it. And so it's a whole big topic of how can Hashem hate something? Maybe the Histakel Be'araisa Bari Olam. The Zohar says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and he created the world. The Torah comes before the world. So how can Hashem change his mind on something? Great question for another time. Uba Yosef Darshu Shahaya Mishamer as Hashabbos. And it says that Yosef kept Shabbos. Why I feel that it's Ryan? Bibnei Shehi Shekula Kenegu Kol HaMitzvos. Because Shabbos, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says that Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvos in the Torah. Lefi Shehi Eidos Al Chiddush HaOlam. Because when we keep Shabbos, we are testifying that Hashem created the world. So therefore, V'haya Oza Kein Lamez Banav Amunas Brias HaOlam. He wanted to teach his kids, even in Mitzrayim, that the Amuda, that the world is created, Lahotzi Milibam Kavanas Avodah Zarah V'deos HaMitzrim V'zos Kavanasam. Interestingly enough, when Yaakov blesses Yosef, that when people bless their sons, they should bless them Kefraim Kemenasha. And Rav Hirsch has a very nice vort. What was so nice about Ephraim and Menasha? That they grew up outside of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't grow up in Yaakov Avinu's house. They didn't grow up in a tzaddik's house. Unlike a lot of their cousins, they grew up, it was very hard for them. But still, they turned out to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvos. And so that's what we want for our kids. Even when times are tough, we want our kids to be like Ephraim and Menasha, that they're Shomer Torah and Mitzvos. And so he said, so that's similar to what he's saying here, that Yosef wanted to give his kids the chizuk, that you should be Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, even in these tough times, even in Mitzrayim, where it's not so easy. So the Ramban's second answer, and I guess our third approach, is that the Avos intuited the whole Torah, but they only kept it in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, that's really the ikker place for keeping Torah. And everywhere else, we're just getting ourselves ready so that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, B'mehavri Amenu, we can go back to Eretz Yisrael and we can keep all the Torah there. But it's not really the ikker place. That's not really where we want to be doing it. We want Mashiach to come and we want to be able to move back to Eretz Yisrael and do it there. And so therefore the Avos, who intuited it and they weren't commanded directly, they only did it in Eretz Yisrael. And then also our questions fall away about Yaakov, about Amram, and then the Matzevos. It's also not a problem because apparently Hashem loved the Matzevos then, but then after the Avos, things went downhill and he changed his mind on the Matzevos. And truth be told, I quoted a Gemara originally that Rav says that Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah. So I brought the continuation of the Gemara here, and Rav uses the Pasuk of Asher, Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli V'Gomer, but Rav Simi Barchia says to Rav, he only kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And we ask on Rav Simi Barchia's, we ask on his opinion, but what about Mila? Avram Avinu was clearly told to give himself and his sons Mila. He says, okay, he kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and he kept Mila. And so in the final paragraph of the Ramban, he comes back and he says, Val Derek Pshat. I'm not going to read it inside, but he says, Val Derek Pshat. What's the simple reading of the Pasuk? That Avram Avinu kept Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Mishmarti is believing in Hashem. Mitzvosai is Lech Lecha. Chukosai is to go in my ways. And Torosai is Mila and Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So when he comes back to it at the end, he says, even though he says this nice idea of, oh, well, maybe they intuited it, and they only kept it in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore outside of Eretz Yisrael, they weren't chayv in anything. He says, no, the simple understanding is this is all they were given. They were just one step up from being a true Ben Noach, from being a true non-Jew. Because they had the Sheva Mitzvot Sinei Noach, plus they had Mila, plus Lech Lecha, he counts as plus Lech Lecha, he counts as a mitzvah. And there's honestly, there's so many more questions we could ask just on this understanding alone. Chazal tell us that the Avos learn Torah. So what did they learn? If they kept the whole Torah, what did they learn? They had Shas. Shas is a conversation that happened hundreds of years after. They had Tanakh. Tanakh didn't happen until way. What were they learning? So that's one question we could ask. Another question is, if they did keep Torah, so what was the point of Matan Torah, giving of the Torah? Why do I need a Matan Torah if I'm already doing it? How did they keep Shabbos? There's actually a discussion of whether the Avos were considered B'nai Noach or B'nai Yisrael. Were they non-Jews or were they Jews? Because if they're B'nai Yisrael, amazing. They kept Shabbos. Every Jew should keep Shabbos. Halavai. But if they're B'nai Noach, we say that a Ben Noach who keeps Torah, or keeps Shabbos, no matter when, whether it's on a Saturday or a Wednesday or whenever, they're Chayav Misa. So the Avos would never have done something that would make themselves Chayav Misa. So how could they keep Shabbos? So these questions we'll have to save for now. But back to just to summarize. So the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu, Hashem tells Yitzchak, your father Avram, he kept everything. Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, V'torosai. And so we have three approaches. Either like Rashi and the statements of Chazal that, yeah, he kept everything. Right? He was the start of the Jewish people, so he kept everything. How he learned it is a good question. And what about the acts that the Avos did that seemed to be against the Torah? So maybe they were Nevi'im, and they were allowed to do it at that point in time. But then once the Torah was given, there was no more, and you weren't Nevi'im, there's no more changing things around. Or maybe like the Ramban says, to give his more famous approach, that they intuited it, but they only kept it in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Iker place of Torah. And outside of Eretz Yisrael is where all these mistakes were made. And the Matzeva, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu liked what they were doing. But later on, he said, no more. I don't like that. I only want a Mizbeach, and I only want it in the place where I'm going to tell you. Or maybe the most simple approach is to say that they really didn't keep the whole Torah. When we say they kept the whole Torah, they kept everything that they were commanded. They kept the Sheva Mitzvot, B'nai Noach, Mila, Lech Lecha, but they didn't keep everything because everything didn't come until Matan Torah. So they couldn't keep everything, but they could keep all of Torah Sai, everything that I taught them. And so I think the takeaway from here is typically we're given the way where we look at things is by, or the way we're taught things, is in the most simplest of approaches. Like I said, my Rebbe from YU likes to say that that's what we believe because that's what our Ganenet told us. That's what our kindergarten teacher told us. And so obviously the kindergarten teacher, I happen to be the son-in-law of a kindergarten teacher, so I know firsthand, the kindergarten teachers try to teach things in the simplest way possible. The way a kindergartner could understand it. And then at some point, we just decided that that was the answer. And the Avos kept the whole Torah, and now we have to fit everything into that box. But the more we learn, and the deeper we go, we see that there's just so many layers to Torah. And there's so many interpretations we could take. That maybe they didn't keep it all. Or maybe they kept it all in a limited way. Or maybe everything they kept was considered the whole Torah, but it wasn't the 613 mitzvos that we know today. So thank you guys so much for joining me. I look forward to being able to give this class again soon. And again, I hope